This episode is brought to you by Infosys Public Services, a leader in next-generation digital solutions and consulting for the DMV. Learn more at infosyspublicservices.com/DMV. Welcome to AnvaCast, bringing news, information, and expertise to the Anva community. Here's your host, Ian Grossman. Enjoy the show.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the AnvaCast. This is our final episode of calendar year 2020, the year that will no doubt go down in many, many history books, for many reasons, not the least being it's the first year of the AnvaCast. And we're going to close out the year with another first, which is our first returning guest, our first time someone's had a second appearance on the AnvaCast, Anne Farrow, the president and CEO of Anva. Anne, welcome back to the AnvaCast. That's not a phrase I've been able to say before, so welcome.
Well, Ian, thank you very much. And all that means is we get to turn the tide and answer the question everybody else has wanted to know, which is, tell us more about this Ian Grossman. So we'll have a good conversation today.
Well, we'll get there eventually. But first, we do want to talk about 2020 and the kind of year that it's been, particularly for the Anva community, which I think is it's a timely conversation because the first time you appeared on the AnvaCast in the very first episode was back in June. And we started the conversation with how everybody was adapting and pivoting. And now we can look back on this time, not only reflective on how the community has pivoted, but recognizing that it has lasted longer than I think anyone expected it to back in April, May, June. And certainly when the end may come is still an open-ended question. But let me ask you at the very high level, you know, how you feel about 2020 in terms of the Anva organization and the Anva community as you look back on this calendar year?
You know, Ian, from the community view, the nimbleness and creativity and perseverance and focus on mission of our community leaders is more impressive to me than ever. When I look back on our notes from early calls in March, you know, our Monday calls with chief administrators, there was a lot of very quick, rapid fire focus on PPE. How do we get it? Dividers for counters and plexiglass. How do we find it? How are you building it? Driving tests. How are you administering them? How are you keeping employees safe? How are you checking the health and safety of customers? What are those protocols? And what are your startup plans as you resume service? What does that look like? How are you prioritizing services? Which services are still not ready for prime time because of social distancing constraints? So as those discussions evolved and probably hit a different tempo of longer term solutions being installed, again, just marveled and continue to marvel over the focus that our chief administrators and their teams have in daily problem solving, daily solutions, and keeping that focus even while they're trying to deliver on their longer term plans, whether system modernization or delivery of a new capability or shifting to more online services. You know, again, it just allows us, I think, as an AMVA organization to be excited when we get to talk with our jurisdiction members and hear the solutions they're offering each other as others put challenges on the table.
I think that's a great overview. And I think one of the things that you said in there, which is especially impressive about 2020, is everything that everyone has had to do to react and adjust and pivot has in many ways been in addition to everything they were already planning on doing. You referenced some of those initiatives, and there's been very few cases of where we've seen people stop an initiative they were planning to make space for the COVID response. Instead, they've found ways to manage it in addition to or in parallel of what was going on. Whether that is our organization that's worked with members to continue to produce best practices and technology enhancements, or some of the innovations that our members have been working on for many years that they were already planning on pushing out in 2020.
Yeah, and they're doing it in conditions that have been unheard of in the past. I mean, I think we all recognize that the DMV is really the front door to government service. Mm-hmm. And roadway safety enforcement is the effective end of that, achieving a safer operating environment on our roadways. And so when I think about our DMVs delivering all what you just described, all what I just summarized, with fewer resources in many ways because of the economic impacts of the pandemic, and with challenged personnel because of the health impacts of the pandemic, and the variability among jurisdictions on different health requirements and protocols from the health departments, if someone is exposed, if someone tests positive, how tracing is done, how office closures are handled, and how services are shifted to new service centers in those instances where it does happen that an office has to close. Yeah. And interestingly enough, some of that is cycling back now. Perhaps not so interesting as frustrating, both for the DMVs as well as for the public. In some cases, with the resurgence of pandemic or the shift back to some of the earlier levels of government mandates or requirements or expectations, offices are having to scale back some services.
Sure.
For a short term.
Well, I think, as you reference, as the numbers in the health crisis are now even higher than what they were when it started in March, April, and May, it would not be surprising to see some of those service adjustments going back to the levels of the spring. Of course, now, though, there are so many great lessons learned of that time, so they know what to prioritize, what to triage, how to keep things moving in a back office that maybe they were figuring out on the fly back in the spring.
Yeah, and are there different ways to do driver testing to still achieve the same safety outcomes,
right,
but with less contact, person-to-person contact, to ensure that folks can continue to get that credential, as a new driver, and personnel and highway personnel can still feel that they are screening that person for the safety and effectiveness with which they're demonstrating their driving skill. Mm-hmm. Some of those person-to-person transactions are among the toughest.
Yeah,
I think document-heavy transactions is the other space. Obviously, the Real ID continues to be a concern because of the number of documents required. So all that being said, I think you ask also about AMVA, the organization.
That's right. And if we look at 2020, maybe we can unpack that a little bit. I do remember, I think everybody remembers barely, there were a solid 10 weeks of 2020 early on where things were fairly stable and normal. And there were two achievements particularly that I want to call out and maybe you could share with our listeners. The first is we kicked off the calendar year 2020 with a January Board of Directors meeting that Chair Whitney Brewster at the time presided over. That was, I think, an important board meeting in the ongoing evolution of our organization, as the board really at that time took a significant step forward in governance and how the board really shows governance process of the organization.
Yeah, so one of our past chairs observed that for an organization the size of AMVA and with the service delivery of AMVA, the board, from a governance view, really gets to focus only three times a year in the most focused of ways over two-day meetings, those three times a year. So you figure 16 hours times three is about 48 hours of focus on AMVA governance. And the pandemic, of course, has shifted that. But what the board decided to do is to take one meeting a year, and this being the January meeting, to focus solely on governance matters relating to priorities of the organization, risk assessment in the organization, structural elements relating to financial management, systems management, and system security, and really take that two-day meeting once a year to kick off in that vein of pure governance allowing other aspects of the meetings in other times of the year to reach more to gain stakeholder input and federal government input. So it was a great, transition and has paid dividends in allowing us to be on solid footing as we shifted into this pandemic mode, operating remotely. AMVA, just like jurisdictions, shut down mid-March. And because we are such a strong organization accustomed to operating across boundaries, across our membership in the U.S. and Canada, our employees were able to shift into a fully remote mode where they continue to operate for the safe and health of the employees. They continue to operate very effectively, whether it's system support, whether it's onboarding new jurisdictions into systems. I'm so excited that Kansas just transitioned into state to state as our 30th state, and other kind of elements of meeting planning. And this is where I'd like to turn the tide, Ian. Could you? Yeah, good stuff.
Couldn't hold you on a little longer.
Talk to us a little bit, if you would, about how you and your team, how you've led your team to shift in this meeting space and public outreach space to sustain the contact with our community that is really at the essence of who AMVA is.
Sure. Yeah, so you're absolutely right. That engagement with members has always been at the foundation of what makes the AMVA community so special and what the organization can do to allow our members to build those relationships with each other across jurisdiction lines that, you know, frankly, they would not have anywhere else to go to learn, well, who does my job in that jurisdiction, you know, either that borders me or is halfway across the continent. And so we had to act pretty quickly to put a number of things in place, both operationally to get ourselves out of so many commitments for those in-person meetings, but then quickly deploy new processes, sometimes using new technology, but sometimes going back to basics. You know, you mentioned the administrator calls that started on a weekly basis and have continued. And we learned very quickly that getting program managers from different agencies just on the phone with each other on a regular basis kept that fundamental connection, being able to talk to each other on a regular basis and share those ideas and do it by discipline, not necessarily getting everybody from, say, a geographic area or a size of organization, but the ability for vehicle program managers to talk to folks that are handling the exact same registration and titling issues or the driver license folks to talk to each other. And then at the same time, we were able to leverage technology by having virtual meetings, whether that was a virtual meeting for all of the regions in place of the regional conferences, a very successful virtual annual membership meeting in early September, and our conference webinar series, which was an important component of when we can have in-person gatherings that provides key education opportunities to keep members up to speed on the latest and greatest on what's going on in the different areas. How do we keep that education series going and that sharing of information and quickly deploying that webinar conference series to deliver what would have essentially been conference sessions at many of our different regional conferences and at the annual international conference, to do that electronically really proved valuable, not only in keeping that connection, but it opened something unexpected, which was there is this whole population of the community that, whether it's due to budget restrictions, travel restrictions, the reality of an agency can only have so many people out of the office at once, there was a whole other level of population in these agencies that could now, quote unquote, attend these events because they could do it virtually, that may not have previously had that opportunity to access that information. And so already as we look forward, when we start to move out of this pandemic space, really trying to determine what's going to be that balance between that opportunity to come in person, which everybody is, of course, just so hungry for right now more than ever, to get together and say hello, while continuing to support what's now been an expanded community because of the ease of being able to log in, not only from your computer, but, you know, from your living room, from your kitchen table, wherever your new home office is.
Yeah, I think that's great. You're absolutely right. The opportunity now for individuals who may have missed a conference session series to actually go back and watch it on the archives is different than the resource we may have enabled post-conference.
That's
you know,
right.
We might have had a static PowerPoint as opposed to a full webinar with a panel of really well-informed program experts, both from our jurisdiction as well as associate industry membership and federal membership, and yep. And actually offer insights that are long-lasting so the education can continue, even for someone who didn't get a chance to attend that session the day we aired it as a webinar.
Yeah, no, it allows that flexibility of the scheduling too, which, yeah. You know, now more than ever really, you know, resonates with folks.
Absolutely. And that continuity is so critical, and taking advantage of new things that we're trying that can work is not unlike the jurisdictions who have been looking at this spin to online and contactless services to say there are parts of this that we need to keep, that we need to continue mm-hmm. to meet the customer where they are at their keyboard, at their mobile device, or remotely. And those are really important steps forward that I think are reflected in many ways in that trends impacting DMVs of the future, or trends impacting future DMVs that we, the research that we just issued this fall.
Wait, why don't you talk a little bit about that? I mean, that was, you know, we put out a number of deliverables in 2020. Most of them are in the structure of what we've traditionally done over the years with best practices and white papers. But this collaboration with TRB was a little bit different than what we would normally produce as a deliverable for the community.
Yeah, so the Transportation Research Board is an element of the National Academy of Sciences in an organization structured in the U.S. during President Lincoln's term, designated by President Lincoln as kind of the body of experts that can help the U.S. in issues of national concern. And the Transportation Research Board was developed and spun off of the National Academies of Science to help primarily transportation agencies. They have a huge partnership with our highway agencies across the U.S. in doing, you know, real nitty-gritty research on engineering, bridge design, road design, and so on. But they also have a very strong presence in safety behaviors, in the behavioral research associated with safe or dangerous driving practices. And AMVA, in looking for a way to really put together the many different demographic and technology pressures that are affecting the DMVs across the US and Canada, as our populations change, as opportunities with technology investment changes, try and put it all in one space so that an individual who leads an agency or an individual coming into office could hand that document off and say, hey, in the terms of demographics, our aging population, our youthful population through the millennial generations and the generations to follow, autonomous vehicle technology or automated driving systems, now remote work pressures and contactless service pressures, all of those things combined, along with the demand for ever-growing demand for privacy, the ever-growing demand for a digital identity capability, is now combined in a single report that probably gives a good glimpse into the future pressures on DMVs and public service delivery of driver and vehicle credentials, identity credentialing, and identity protection, and highway safety over the next 5 years. And it's referred to as trends impacting the DMV of the future. Again, it's available on our website. And mm-hmm. I think it's just because it's a consolidation of things we all know are happening, but how do you put it into a single, really concise document, and how do you play out the scenarios? Mm-hmm. And that's the work that the TRB enabled.
Yeah, and what's really interesting about the timing of the report, it ties back to what you said a little bit earlier about the focus of deploying contactless electronic delivery, and that shift in the way our members deliver service, which it's kind of the, you know, the overuse saying every cloud has a silver lining. The silver lining of the pandemic has been many of these initiatives that our members have been working toward steadily and consistently for 10, sometimes 20 years, really kind of skyrocketed forward by this demand for contactless interaction, online delivery. You know, we've heard our members for years trying to shift their customers' behavior to say, don't come into the branch if you don't have to. There are other options, online, mail, telephone sometimes. And the silver lining has been really a shock in the arm to move that behavior to where they've so steadily been trying to move that behavior for many years.
Absolutely. I think that's a great way to capture it. You know, and while we've been talking, Ian, one of the things that keeps coming back to me for our listeners is to share a little bit more about our board and how it's structured, because the ability to take these ideas and recognize the challenges and some of the solutions and help our community, writ large, grab resources that enable them to implement some of the newer technologies or newer solutions, preserve interoperability, focus on highway safety achievements. It's really through AMVIS board leadership. And we have a board that is fully representative of members, jurisdiction membership only across all four of our regions 1, 2, 3, and 4. And our board leadership rotates according to a regional progression. And so just during this pandemic period, we've shifted, the board leadership through our executive committee continues to pass the torch. We had outgoing chair or immediate past chair, Rhonda Lamb, Nebraska DMV leader, Region 3, passing the torch, was serving as the immediate past chair on the executive committee. At the time, Whitney Brewster, as you mentioned, Region 2 DMV leader from Texas, Chair Brewster led us through the initial periods of this pandemic of going into a fully remote mode, transitioning our technologies, exploring new things like the AmbiCast. And then through the September annual meeting, all done virtually, she in turn handed the baton to Mike Dixon, Region 4, who heads up the Division of Motor Vehicles in Colorado. And Mike in turn has an executive committee with right behind him, Chrissy Neiser, Region 1, Motor Vehicle Administration of Maryland leader. Right behind her, Christina Boardman, again, back to Region 3, heading up the DMV in Wisconsin, and Spencer Moore from Georgia as the newest member of the executive committee, also in that kind of continuity of ideas, handing off both AMVA priorities, but fine-tuning them as a new executive committee with board input, and carried forward from a financial manager view by Rick Holcomb, a past chair, our current treasurer, and treasurer for a second term. So we really do, I would say the membership is so well represented by the ideas and the innovation and the expertise of our board leadership, and the continuity helps AMVA continue to serve our members in a way that's meaningful. We try not to skip a beat. We try to continue to pass the torch, but refine it based on the pressures that members are feeling, the ideas and the challenges, and the resources that would help them in serving their customers and their citizens.
That's really useful, I think, for folks to hear. And I think the follow-on question is, what have you observed what's made successful? Let's see if I can word this the right way, which is, you talk about how the chair changes every year. So the chair's term is only 1 year. We also have the rest of the board. We've got about one third of a turnover every year because they're in staggered terms. Even with that turnover, at the same time, the board has been very successful remaining consistent and steady on key priorities. You mentioned Kansas becoming the 30th participant in state to state. We're now at 98% participation on NMVITIS. The mobile driver's license story, which has continued to evolve, has started, you know, at least a decade ago, though really we can mark a concerted AMVA effort to about 6 years ago now, and automated vehicles, which kind of, which first hit the scene, you know, you were there in a different capacity, but many folks will remember in 2011 at the in Milwaukee, when Lynn Judd was chair, we had, you know, the first generation of the Google car was on the exhibit floor. So it's to tell that story of these key priorities have stayed steady and consistent, and we've been able to make progress while balancing that change in leadership, yet continuity in leadership.
Yeah, and I say the resource is a really effective strategic framework. Some organizations would call that the strategic plan. The framework that AMVA's board developed and adopted in 2014, 2015, really facilitated through you, Ian, and your team, enabled us to stay very focused on issues and initiatives that are meaningful to members, that add value to our jurisdiction's abilities to deliver services. And that framework, it's very exciting. You know, we went through one tweak iteration in its 6 year history, and we are now shifting into another exciting period where Christina Boardman will lead up a board committee to start framing out how AMVA approaches its next strategic priority development task. How does the board best formulate AMVA's strategic framework, our mission, our vision, and our priorities going forward? And I would say that we have such a strong framework today. My sense is the foundations will stay constant. You know, culture of excellence, member-focused service delivery, value-add IT services that are reliable, and clear, strong integrity with our financial management, all driving towards safe drivers, safe vehicles, secure identities, and saving lives. Will that change? We shall see. What's fun about the effort that Mike Dixon, Chair Dixon, asked Christina Boardman to lead is that it'll cover the span of the next couple of years. It'll have your help. And we expect a full member engagement survey as well. So we'll be able to see what's important to our members. And that iterative process, I think, is what enables the board really to continue to stay focused on what matters.
That's great. That's great. So I guess we should maybe tell our listeners, I'll pull back the curtain a little bit. If you ever wondered what it's like to work at AMVA, these are real conversations Ann and I have all the time. You think we would be, you know, scripted something to record for the podcast, but this way, if you were eavesdropping on one of our weekly calls, this is kind of what you would hear.
So well said, Ian. Well, how have you held up through all of this? It's been now 9 months. How are you doing?
Doing well. The Grossman family is holding up well. All four of us have been home together every day, all day, you know, for all 90 hours of each day. But no, in all seriousness, it's actually been great. It's, you know, the family time. We're fortunate that we're a family that, you know, generally enjoys each other's company. But no, the boys are distance learning. I'm of course been doing my job from home. And I think one thing that is perhaps unique, for the work at home environment, some people listening will know this. My wife, runs the dance program at the Catholic University of America here in Washington, D.C., which means she, on a regular basis, teaches dance classes. So we had to turn the lower level of our house into a home dance studio. So at any given time, when I mentioned eavesdropping on the AMVA calls, you know, you could hear in the background at my house, even though I may be sitting on a conference call at a desk, I've got from below me tap dancing and sounds of college kids taking dance, while above me, one son might be in chorus class and the other one in orchestra playing one of his 12 different instruments. So it's a happy house, but it is there's a volume issue for sure.
Oh, well, it does leave us all humming a tune invariably. It's wonderful to be able to see that. And I would say probably a lot of folks love to peep into the homes of everyone who is working remotely. And as we evolve in that space, we'll allow kids to get back to school at some point in the near future. Over the next year, a vaccine. It's all very positive, and we can all stay optimistic as we move into 2021, Ian. And I hope the joy in your family keeps echoing through our calls, because we do all love hearing the conflicting instruments, always with a positive practice sound.
Yeah, that's great. I do think, Anne, you know, as you kind of start to wrap us up there with that hope of 2021, I think another of the silver lining of 2020 is when you talk about peering into people's homes, seeing people in their space with their children and juggling what they're juggling, I think has brought about a new level of empathy and compassion for each other, that we're not just all logging in or going to an office to getting something done, but we're connected in this bigger, more meaningful way to support each other in our lives and all of these competing demands. And I think something as simple as what you said, which is that portal into somebody's house to see their living room or to see their toddler needing a little bit of help while mom is trying to juggle a conference call, has actually brought us together as a people and as a community in a way I don't know anyone would have expected.
Well, that is so well said. And there's an element that we want to sustain when we come to the end of this very strange journey that everyone has been on with an international pandemic. That's, again, one of those elements that let's commit to keeping. The sense of caring for each other, the sense of connection, that insight into others' humanity gives us, and particularly may it carry us through this holiday season, Ian.
Well, thanks, Anne, for joining us yet again. I know we will have you back in the future. I do hope that if it's another 6-7 months away, perhaps you could be a returning guest on our first on-site recording of an AmbiCast, perhaps at an event somewhere, something to look forward to.
I look forward to that. I really look forward to that.
And for all our listeners, thank you for listening, for joining us on this new journey of the AmbiCast as we wrap up 2020. Hope you all have had a wonderful holiday season and are getting ready for a very happy new year, for that hope that we all have for 2021. Again, thanks for listening, downloading, tell your friends. Of course, thanks to our producer, Claire Jeffrey, and we'll see you all in 2021 on the AmbiCast. Happy New Year, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for AmbiCast, hosted by Ian Grossman, produced by Claire Jeffrey, music by Gibson Arthur. This episode was brought to you by Infosys Public Services. Visit us at ambicast.podbean.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify.